Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, is Anthony Herron.
Huntley will just drive it up the middle, and that's all she wrote. With their season hanging in the balance, the Baltimore Ravens get the win over the Chicago Bears, 30-16, snapping the Bears' 4-game winning streak.
That's how it sounded, just to close things out on CBS. 30-16 was the final score. The Baltimore Ravens down the Chicago Bears. Our thanks to CBS for that audio. And within the game, the Bears themselves, certainly some frustrations abound. This is the post-post show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Anthony Herron. Got my guy Tyler Butterball on the ones and twos for me as we get set to take you up to Sunday night football coverage here on 670 The Score. Tonight, Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers take on the Packers on Sunday night football. Coverage is coming up at 6:30, and that's going to be when the kickoff will be right upon you. Kickoff is 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. Until then, I'm here with you to talk through what happened on the field with the Bears today against the Ravens. Would love to hear from you as well. You can hit us up at 312-644-6767 at 312-644-6767 to get involved in the conversation here. The way this game played out, now the third loss of the season for the Bears, 4-3 overall, and the Ravens now moving to 2-5 on the season. Coming into this thing, if you just come out of the game and said the Ravens won, that shouldn't be a shocking or even surprising result. The Ravens are a championship-level organization. They are as consistently in the mix over the last 3 decades. I mean, just let's say throughout this century, there are few franchises in football that are in the mix in the postseason, having Super Bowl-level expectations going into a year. There are few in football that have been able to consistently field teams that perform at a high level and that enter the following season with high-level expectations as the Ravens. That ain't been the story for the Bears. So the Ravens, as a desperate team, with a 1-5 record coming into this weekend, coming out of an off week with that additional time to prepare for the Bears, to get healthy from a variety of injuries that they've been suffering. Of course, as many of you may have heard, might have noticed, the Lamar Jackson part of the storyline with the Ravens playing games with their injury and availability reports has become a rather big deal. And some significant news throughout the National Football League over the last couple of days with the way that they were listing Lamar Jackson on the injury report. Was it gamesmanship? Was there truly any confusion on their part? It's hard to imagine that John Harbaugh, as long as he's been doing this, and the organizational infrastructure in place with the various folks, the GM himself and those working under the GM, it's hard to think there's any legitimate confusion about how they're allowed to list a starting quarterback taking reps on the scout team leading into a game. So Ravens probably said, we're just going to have to charge this one to the game and just see what we can do to keep the Bears a little bit more off balance, a little bit more off kilter going into their preparation in the midst of what they're doing, because, of course, the Bears weren't coming off a bye week. All those things being said, the Ravens winning this game is certainly not shocking. The disappointing aspect of this is that when you look at the Bears as a whole, their three losses this season, the 0-2 start was, of course, disappointing. But when you look at the way those first two games went, two divisional games. So right now the Bears 0-2 in the division itself. But the opening loss on Monday Night Football against the Minnesota Vikings, a game where the Bears largely outplayed the Vikings for three quarters and then just kind of fumbled the bag in the fourth quarter, and J.J. McCarthy got hot, and then Minnesota snuck away with a win that they, frankly, didn't really play of the same caliber of football as the Bears throughout that one. Now, week two, Bears didn't look like they belonged on the same field with the Detroit Lions. Just drastically got their doors blown off in the return of Ben Johnson to Ford Field. This game was different. This game was tasking the Bears with a different mission, because at least early in the week, it looked like they'd be the healthier team. Now, by the time we got to the end of the week, that turned out to not be the case, with a couple of surprising Bears names ending up on the injury report, and then some going down in-game as well. So, especially for the Bears' defense, not as sizable an advantage as many of us were hoping that they would have personnel-wise against the Ravens. But that being said, the way this game played out, it was the type of game where you didn't look at it and say the Bears were drastically outplayed by the Ravens. But frankly, the Bears just didn't really make a significant amount of plays in game. They just sort of methodically plodded their way through much of the game, and at least on offense, didn't really look like a lot of haymakers were being thrown. Could the Bears win that style again? I love the point that you've heard Olin Krutz make on the station for a couple of weeks now about the Bears offense without taking the ball away, and how would it be able to respond to that? And that's, as usual, a fantastic observation from Olin. I've been just as curious about the Bears defense without taking the football away, and how the Bears defense would be able to function in game. Because the takeaway certainly has benefited the Bears offense, and many of us have observed that the Bears offense hasn't capitalized on those takeaways to the same extent that they hope for, that many of us hope for, that the top offenses in the sport are able to by putting touchdowns on the board. Now, they're amongst the tops in football in points off takeaways, but it's because they get so many takeaways, but they're not putting touchdowns on the board with the majority of those. But the Bears' defense, that had been, before the last couple of weeks, very susceptible to the run, still one of the worst defenses in football in yards per play given up. And, of course, the game against the Detroit Lions skews those numbers a bit. But this isn't a defense that just completely slams the door shut on opponents on a consistent basis. They're not impossible to run the ball against. They don't rush the quarterback at an extremely high level. They're not one of these teams who glove you up so well in pass coverage that you can't even complete passes against them, let alone chunk plays. So when you're looking at the Bears D, the main thing that they've been exceptional at has been the takeaway. So as much as the Bears offense has benefited from the takeaway, the Bears as an organization have been able to capitalize and come up with wins based off those takeaways. One of the things that the Bears as a team, when they're not taking the football away, one of the concerns I've had is the Bears' defense without taking the rock away as well. And how well could they continue to play? And you come out of this game where Tyler Huntley gets the start. A few days ago, he was still on the practice squad after beginning the season in Cleveland. We know it was, what, four seasons ago. I was talking about it this morning on Bears Game Day Live on Fox 32. 4 years ago, Tyler Huntley got that start against the Bears and were able to lead the Ravens to a last-second win in that game. It was a nice moment for him, bad moment for the Bears and Matt Nagy as things were starting to come to a close for him. And I've been calling games at Tyler Huntley's played since he was in college at Utah. He's always been an uber-competitive guy. He's always been someone who's been prepared and kind of seizes moments really well. He's certainly an above-average athlete for a quarterback. He's not Lamar Jackson, but no one is Lamar Jackson from a mobility perspective at quarterback. He's fairly consistent with his accuracy, but he's not one of these guys with the biggest arm in the world or, you know, the most fantastic, like, throwing mechanics and fits the ball into tight windows and almost like a wizard with the way he fits it into different places around defenders, over defenders. He's not one of these guys. He doesn't have the ball on a string, but he's uber competitive. He's always prepared, just stays ready. Just one of those guys who doesn't have to get ready because he's always ready for that moment. So you got to respect the way that he always attacks things. Him getting this start against the Bears, it did concern me just from what my observations have been throughout his career, both in college and in the NFL. But for this Bears defense, between Derrick Henry, Keaton Mitchell, and Tyler Huntley himself, the Ravens got more than enough ground attack going in this game, ended up with 177 total rushing yards. And again, another game with very limited pressure on Tyler Huntley as a quarterback. So I have a lot to say about the Bears offense as we get through the post show here in some more detail, but also this Bears defense and where things sit with them. More than enough concerning on each side of the ball, and the Bears didn't really leave this game with an advantage in special teams either, especially one of the drives where Ravens punt the ball and get the Bears pinned down. That's a drive that leads to a Caleb Williams interception. So there's a lot for us to be able to break down here, and we certainly will. But I want to get out to the phone lines as well, 312-644-6767. Let's get Patrick, who's on the northwest side, involved in the conversation here on the post show. What's happening, Patrick?
Good afternoon. I don't want to sound like one of these conspiracy wackos, but I am tired of watching game after game where the officiating is horrible. Calls are not made, or calls are phantom calls are made. Today we have third down, the pass interference, so obvious that the announcers talked about it later after it happened again, and the referee was right there. Right there. So, I mean, part of me says to myself, wait a minute. Is this guy betting on the game? Is he getting his instructions from somebody? And I know that sounds crazy, but look at the NBA. Look at the scandal that hit him. And then, you're a player. It's gotten some players so frustrated that he chased Brad Allen off the field. And I bet he told him, if you ever get your turn your back on me on the film, I'll run you over. They got to be frustrated. You play your ass off to win a game, only to have some referee control it. And where is Goodell in all of this? All he's doing is talking about the halftime show. Really, Roger Dodger, you made your bed with gambling. You made the deal. And you know, when you make a deal with gambling, you know who went far behind, the Ben and those guys. So everything about this is suspicious. And their play could have changed the game. The Bears, they would have had to punt the ball, Bears score. If they score, it changes the whole game over again. And you see it over and over. I saw a video of Patrick Mahomes. It showed player spinning the ball after first down penalty. Player spins the ball after first down penalty. Patrick Mahomes points at the guy in the end zone, spins the ball right for the referee. Nothing. What is that telling you? That's not, you know, I mean, it's like a kid. You get in trouble for not eating their spinnies, but your brother doesn't. It really sends a bad message. It sends a bad message to the players. And I think they're frustrated with it. And the coaches can't say anything because, go ahead, open your mouth, and I'll make you pay for it. You know they will.
The coaches will get fined for it. The players can end up getting fined for it as well. I appreciate you making the call. I get exactly what you're talking about, Patrick, and especially from a sports betting perspective. And it's, you know, it's a bad time for the NFL to have a situation like this with the Ravens because you have this big scandal that's broken in the National Basketball Association. And so whether it's, you know, coaches, players, officials, you know, we remember the NBA official from a couple of decades ago who was implicated in a gambling scandal. And so now you have that while the NFL is in the midst of their season and the Ravens kind of pulling whatever they pulled with the roster, manipulating things in that way. And one of the things that sports in general, professional sports, high-level collegiate sports, credibility has always been a huge concern, and it's why they've slow-played any real consideration for fully getting in bed with sports betting and allowing it to be a part of the brand, of the NFL, and of professional sports in general. But now here we are. It's 2025, and sports betting, legal in the majority of states in the country, and it's been a part of why the NFL has been able to be popularized in the way that it has. Not only is it probably the most TV-friendly product that's there in sports, but then the way that people bet on it has been proliferated so much over the years. And so credibility is a huge deal within that. Now, Patrick, the caller himself, said he's not a big conspiracy nut. And there's no reason to think that the NFL would have anything against the Bears, one of the charter franchises, and the, you know, the Halas McCaskey family. Like, the NFL wouldn't want the Bears to succeed for some reason. Because when you think about it, as much as the Bears have struggled over the last 15 years to mount consistent winners, the Bears still move the needle like few other franchises in the sport. Whether you're talking nationally televised games, sports conversation in this ever-cycling 24-hour sports discussion enterprise that there is, the Bears move the needle. Everybody want to talk about Mitch Trubisky when he was the Bears quarterback. Everybody wants to talk about Justin Fields when he was the Bears quarterback. And now everybody wants to talk about Caleb Williams while he's the Bears quarterback. And it's not like the Bears won a bunch of games as those individuals were the QB. And yet the conversation is driven largely and consistently by folks who want to discuss the QB of the Bears. So I don't think there's any reason to believe the league would be against the Bears in any way or would be tired of the Bears winning at such a high level or anything like that. But I feel what you said, especially for that moment that came up late in game, 3rd and 7 in the fourth quarter, just over 3 minutes and 20 seconds to go, and you got DeAndre Hopkins pushing off into Sean Wright. If you come up with that stop, if they do call an OPI on Hopkins, one of the great receivers in the history of the game, but he's never been a guy who is so sudden in and out of his breaks where he separates at a high level from defensive backs, one of the things he's able to do, and one of the aspects of the game of Roma Dunze that I think he's getting better and better at is the ability to use his big body to stack defensive backs. You know, we use the term stacking a DB. It's basically boxing them out where you're using your body to put yourself in a position where as the ball is traveling towards you as a wideout, where you make sure your body is staying between you, you know, between the football and the defensive back, so you can present yourself as a target. DeAndre Hopkins is exceptional at that. In that scenario, that wasn't about him stacking the DB. That was about that push off, the face mask. There was a couple of different flags that could have potentially been thrown there. Officials let Hopkins get away with it, but that call going against the Bears, certainly not the singular reason the game didn't go their way. Let's sneak another caller in here before the first timeout. 312-644-6767. I see Dave out there on the north side. I want to talk about this game that just took place with the Bears losing to the Ravens. What's up, Dave?
Big A, how are you?
Good, man.
Listen, let's break this down. The game was lost in the first quarter. Instead of 6 points, if you get 14, you play the game. You get 14, then the quarterback, he might get a little happy feet. Then there's another thing. Didn't put any pressure on him. Didn't blitz. He's a third-string quarterback. Why wouldn't you do that? That's 2 points. Number three, the penalties. You got a punter that pins him down and could flip the field. There's a legal formation. See, I don't know who the Bears think they are as far as they could fucking overcome. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we got to let you go on that one, Dave. I appreciate the call. And I get the frustration, obviously, with the foul language there. And the larger point that Dave's making about the self-inflicted wounds from the Bears and the penalties. It's another game where the Bears end up in double digits with penalties that they pick up. And Ben Johnson, and we'll play some sound from Ben Johnson as we get through the post-post show here. Ben Johnson himself, he didn't completely wash his hands of it, but he pretty much said, like, you know, we're coaching it up. We're talking about it a lot. We as the coaches are doing about as much as we can here. We're going to need the leadership on this team to step up and see what else we can do to get this stuff cleared up. Because for a team that entered this weekend with a 4-2 record and to still find themselves, and with it being such a topic so consistently for this squad, and to week after week be amongst the most penalized teams in football, it's inexcusable. It's maybe not unexplainable, but it's very difficult to explain. It's another game, 11 penalties for the Bears in this one. And it's just they're not good enough to overcome that consistently. And it showed up again today. And I'm confident the players are frustrated by it. Ben Johnson, obviously very frustrated by it. And there's a few different things that you look to get corrected. They enhanced the run game over the bye week. They enhanced the run defense over the bye week. Coming out of the bye, the whole penalty thing, still a pretty big problem for the Bears. 312-644-6767. We'll continue to hear from you as the Bears now fall to 4-3 on the season. Haven't lost or hadn't lost since those early couple of divisional games. Now their first non-division loss of the year. More games on the way, but more conversation on the way here on the Post Show. I'm Anthony Herron, Tyler Butterball on the ones and twos for me this evening. More callers incoming. You will hear from both Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams before I get out of the way on the Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver Wire, Trade Talk, Starter Sit, Mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think you see flashes of some explosive plays and some really good things happen. But the penalties to me is what stands out first and foremost. You know, we still have some of the pre-snap issues. There's occasional not getting lined up quite right. There's occasional not getting the motion quite right. And so that stuff it adds up and it hurts us. We get away with it occasionally, but it's just not the way you win in this league. And so I think, I really put it on the leaders there in that locker room to get this ship going the right direction in that regard. Us coaches, we've been pounding that drum now for a while, and we haven't gotten the results we wanted. So it's on the leaders here on this team to get us right.
Cool word. Maybe Tyler was going to have to hit the dump button on that one. That was Bears coach Ben Johnson saying that we needed to get this ship headed in the right direction. Ship with a P. But you could argue maybe a different consonant would be noteworthy and suitable there at the end of that word from Ben Johnson. That was him from the post game describing what I was referencing a moment ago, just some aspects of the Bears in their execution that has to get better. And there's only so much of it that you can put on Bears coaches. Now, you know, a lot of it in football, you know, you're putting certain things on film. So the film is not only the player's resume, but the film is the coach's resume. But when you put on the All-22, the coach's film, that's the snap-by-snap, and the camera will hang on to a shot long enough just to see if there's some quick post-snap penalty or something like that. But for the most part, the infractions that are there, some of them are subjective, but pre-snap penalties, post-snap penalties, misalignments, a lot of that, yes, you're either coaching it or you're allowing it, but man, you can only put so much of that on the coaches at this point. And that's one of those things Ben Johnson referenced, I believe multiple times even, in some of his post-game comments, where there's got to be some ownership taken by the players to try and get this right also. Because, this is one man's opinion. I really think the Bears are scheming up really effectively in all phases here. And many of you who've heard me for years on this station, I've been quick to call out Bears offensive play callers, whether it's been the coordinator, the head coach, both. Well, I don't think things are working on defense. I like a lot of what I'm seeing schematically on each side of the ball, especially, you know, considering some of the factors in there, whether it's youth at quarterback, whether it's the skill level or abilities of running back, limited pass rush on defense. There's a lot where I'm looking at it saying it feels like schematically things are as versatile as they've been for the Chicago Bears in the time that I've been here covering the team. Now, that's still sort of a separate thing from leadership and accountability and some of those factors that do go into coaching, leadership, teaching as well. But I think the sense many of us have is that this is a staff that's doing those things in a really effective way also. So that balance between what's on the players, what's on the coaches, in the end, if the players aren't getting the job done, the coaches are responsible for it. But there's responsibility that goes down both lanes there between players and coaches. And it's just been too often. When you think about the early drives of the game today, where the Bears come away with a couple of field goals, where they drive down into striking distance, and both of those first couple of drives got into double digits. The Bears were driving consistently against the Ravens over and over again, and then as you got deeper into the game and drives were starting to stall, that was really where more of the penalties began getting picked up by the Bears. That's where these self-inflicted wounds that I was referencing a few moments ago, that's where that really starts to add up. Because when you're asking, and it's sort of an odd juxtaposition, because no team in the National Football League has more chunk plays, more explosive runs and passes than the Bears do. But they've come in bunches, kind of like the takeaways. And today was a game where the Bears' offense was forced by Baltimore's defense to drive the long field. And there was a control and a composure to the way that Caleb Williams played the game that I thought, frankly, was much better than we've seen in any other game since the bye. Certainly more so than how he handled himself against the Saints last week. The word I used about Caleb Williams coming out of that game against the Saints was greedy. I thought it was the most sort of greedy execution of the quarterback position that I'd seen Caleb try to execute with in any game so far this season. Today's game against Baltimore was a controlled version of Caleb that hit his back foot and just looked for a completion. We heard Ben Johnson multiple times last week reference that, just hunting completions, looking for opportunities to get the ball into the hands of his playmakers. I think Caleb, for the most part, did that. What didn't happen was big plays, chunk plays. We didn't see much, if any, attack with the vertical pass until the Bears were down in the fourth quarter, and especially once they got down multiple scores, there had to be more desperation with the way that they attacked. And so that's where this game, to me, was different than the first couple of losses for the Bears, where it was that there was an element of patience that the Bears offense had to execute with. And maybe had is a strong word, but certainly was choosing to execute with. And they were able to move the ball, but it was leading early to field goals. And then once penalties began to mount, it was another game now that did feel similar in the way that the Bears were behind the chains in some key occasions here, leading to punts, leading to drive stalling. And that's where the difference was. Baltimore seems more not only accustomed to it, but suited for it. Because if there's nothing else we know about the Bears, we know the Bears are going to pick up flags. One of the most penalized teams in the National Football League. And it's one of the things that's been more frustrating about them this season. 312-644-6767. Let's get back out to the phone lines here. A lot of folks want to get involved in this conversation about the Bears as they lose 30-16 to the Baltimore Ravens. Let's go to Jay, who's been on hold for a minute. Jay is out in Milwaukee. What's happening, Jay? You're on the post-post show. Oh, okay. We lost Jay. All right, Jay's not there with us anymore. Let's go to Jim in Schaumburg. Want to talk about what's happening with the Bears and with this Bears defense. What's up, Jim?
All right, number one, I feel very strongly that, number one, it's going to take time for the Bears to get together and to work things out. It's going to take a little bit of time. Well, my big question is, what happened to Austin Booker? This guy was a big, big pass rusher that we got, and he was doing good in preseason. He got injured. Now he's off with the injury. What is happening with him? And I'll quote that other guy with the officiating. I'm not a conspiracy theory either. But you have to look at some of these plays, whether it's this game, next week before. All of these officials are coming really bad with a lot of bad calls in every one of these games. It seems to be getting worse every year.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Jim. And I think that, you know, from specifically Austin Booker, I'll take that first part of your question. With Booker, I think we do need to remember he's a second-year player who's a fifth-round pick in last year's draft. He's been impressive in both preseasons so far. And I think this preseason, as I was talking about on this station and over on Fox 32, I feel like this preseason he was even more impressive than he was in the previous preseason because of the wider variety of moves that we saw Austin Booker utilizing. And that matters a lot, especially when you're not a hulking defensive end. Austin Booker weighs every bit of 240, 245 pounds. So he's not one of these guys that's 270 or 290, has this immense power to the way that he rushes the quarterback or plays the game. Frankly, for your standard Dennis Allen defensive end, he's on the smaller side. Now, a lot of schemes, you can be 245 as a defensive end, and it's not much of a concern. But Austin Booker's just built differently than most of the other guys in the Bears' defensive front. But he does have skills as a pass rusher. And that's where, for this Bears' defensive front, that they don't have a lot of guys just whipping the lineman across from them, winning clean, getting to the quarterback, putting consistent pressure in the backfield. Austin Booker could potentially have a chance to add to that. But right now, it's just potential. Austin Booker's not some proven commodity in the NFL that we know surefire will get into the game and provide production. My impression is that if Dennis Allen and this Bears staff were confident or were seeing things on the practice field that either A, Austin Booker was healthy enough to come off of IR quickly and contribute, they need to be out there, or B, whether healthy or not, if he's just wrecking shop in practice, winning his one-on-ones when they go one-on-one pass rush, or being all around the quarterback when they're going team period towards the end of practice, if Austin Booker was flying all over the place and difficult to block in practice, then they'd be finding a spot for him more quickly in the game lineup as well. So we got to remember, what we see on game days, that's a part of the evaluation where you wonder, our coach is looking at what's on the film and saying, you know what? Dio Dangbo isn't winning consistently in his edge rush as much as we'd like him to, or, you know, it's not like Austin Booker is going to replace Montez Sweat or anything like that, but the Bears' defensive ends, if they're looking at what's out there on game day, saying, we got to see if we can find an upgrade, and then, of course, they're going to look internally first and then look around the league. I think if the Bears felt like Austin Booker was some definitive upgrade over what's playing, then he'd be playing. Now, from a timeline perspective, his window to return from IR, I believe, ends tomorrow on Monday at some point in the afternoon. So that will be something to watch. I'll be eager to see Austin Booker in a game at some point. I would anticipate that we will at some point this season. But they've seemingly, and I've been what used to be known as the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list. I've been one of those guys on the PUP list where they designate you for the potential to return because they think there's a chance you can contribute and help after you're healthy from an injury. But then when your window is coming to a close, then they got to make a decision. They got to find room for you on the 53 to cut somebody and activate you. I would guess they'll do that with Austin Booker, but they've just played his window out as far as they could so they wouldn't be forced to make that decision. And now, especially when a couple of guys going down today, then they may need to activate Austin Booker, just depending on where we're at with a couple of the other guys that got banged up. Dominic Robinson immediately got hurt in the game today, so we'll see what the situation is with him. Shamar Turner, not able to return to action as well. We'll keep the conversation rolling. More phone calls on the line here at 312-644-6767. I'm Anthony Herron. This is the Post Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Second down and long, fake the handoff from his own end zone. Williams has time. Downfield, intercepted! Wiggins steps in front, and the Ravens come up with the big play defensively.
Just an incredible job of undercutting this route. You're going to see it here. He runs the route with him, undercuts it for the interception. Beautiful defensive back play from Nate Wiggins in a massive moment.
What's your read on the interception?
It was a good read. Rome, man-to-man with the guy that caught the pick, and I just didn't give a good ball to Rome.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was the play itself. Our thanks to CBS for the sound. You heard J.J. Watt's reaction to it. And that moment in the game, and Nate Wiggins aggressively undercutting the route, it's a great pick from him, but that was a game, that was a ball. To me, one of the few balls where Caleb was just purely late. The read itself is one thing, but as Rome Odunze came on the in cut, Caleb was just late in trying to get it to him. That gave Wiggins the additional time to react to the pass, and that's one of those things. Unless you're really trying to hum the ball in there, which Caleb has been, of course, guilty of at points in his football journey, then you got to be on time. You got to be in rhythm, because if you're not, then you're giving the DB that extra chance to react. Discussing it here on the post-post show on The Score. You can also tune in all day tomorrow for Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Gabe Ramirez will be live starting at midnight tonight, followed by Mully and Haw at 5:30 right here on The Score. And that moment from Caleb and his reaction to it, one of the things that I respect about how Caleb has kind of communicated about things. It feels to me like he's been very forthright, self-critical of things that he hasn't executed well, what he feels like he's seen and done in games. And we've had multiple callers so far talking about the penalties on the Bears. Now, some of it, folks frustrated with the officials, but then also the frustration with Bears players themselves. First quarter of this game, the Bears had a 125-8 advantage in total yards, and that completely flipped in the second quarter. The one time the Ravens got the ball in the first quarter, they went 3-and-out. Bears had the ball the entire rest of the first quarter of this game, and that's where penalties and lack of execution and those things really upticked and began to bite the Bears, where you don't want to get bit. So that was an unfortunate result for the Bears. Let's go back out to the phone line, though, where Aaron is on the south side. And I think it speaks to one of the things we've been talking about with these Bears. What's up, Aaron? You're on the post-post show.
Hey, peace and love. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I want to say that I appreciate what you guys are doing. You guys got excellent dialogue.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to jump in here, and I want to say that I've been riding with Chicago Bears for 40 years, and it's been a heck of a journey. I like what I'm seeing these days, but I want to specifically speak about what you guys alluded to earlier with these red zone field goals, right? Mm. So I see that we are able to start moving the ball, sustaining the drive, chewing off clock. But when we get to where the money is, we can't cash in. I'd like for y'all to unpack that for me, hear what your thoughts are. Is it a personnel thing? Is it a scheme thing? Or is it simply shooting ourselves in the foot with these offensive penalties? I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate you guys.
I appreciate you, Aaron. That's a great call and a really valid question for where this team sits. And both Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, when asked about it, post game, each of them said, and I think it was, it sounded like Dan Weeder. I think it was that guy Weedsy, who was posing the question to both Ben and Caleb. Effectively, he, you know, paraphrase, he basically said, what do you think is worst about where you guys are at right now? Like, what's bothering you most? And each of them said, it comes down to penalties and red zone offense. And both of them expressed those as the two elements that they find most frustrating about where the Bears are at, where they're coming up short. The penalties are one thing, and that's team-wide. And they're still, and it showed up again today. And frankly, I mean, credit to Caleb, to the offense in general, like that early infraction on Colston Loveland. I think it was the very first penalty of the game on the Bears, but then they did still convert a 3rd and 6 shortly thereafter, extend the drive, and still get into field goal range. But for the most part, the Bears have shown themselves as an offense that can't consistently or effectively overcome penalties and being behind the chains. They haven't been sacked a lot this season, certainly not by comparison to last year. So that area of growth for Caleb, that matters, that's improved immensely, and he and the Bears deserve credit for the growth that's been there and that's been obvious in that area. It's been apparent, maybe not obvious. Obvious overstates it a little bit because not everybody pays the same degree of attention to all these things. But the growth in avoiding sack, in sack avoidance, that's been a big area of growth, and that matters. But the unfortunate thing is, because the worst part about sacks is that you waste a down and you lose yards on offense. But then if you're just going to get penalized and put yourself behind the chains anyway, then it's not much better than taking a sack. Now, you don't lose the down usually with a penalty like that, depending on if it's a pre-snap infraction or a penalty that happens during the play. But to the red zone specifically, to the question that Aaron had, here's my assessment of where things sit with the Bears in the red zone. When you get into the red zone, one of the aspects of that that's most difficult for the offense, that is viewed as somewhat of an advantage for the defense, is that now you have the sidelines and the out-of-bound lines as additional defenders for you. The field is 53 1/3 wide. So you're always going to have that same width to work with. But the closer and closer you get to the end zone means also the closer and closer you get to the back of the end zone. So you're closer to a touchdown, but now the route tree is diminished. And so the amount of field where when you've got the whole field to work with and you're driving as an offense to try and defend every blade of grass is really tough for a defense, for a defensive coordinator. Offensively, when you get into the red zone, you got the same amount of defenders. You still got 11 bodies to contend with on the opposing defense, but there's less space. And so the main goal for offenses when they get into the red zone, you're trying to create either of two things. You're trying to create space, or you're trying to create a matchup. Both can be kind of tough to create sometimes depending on your personnel. Right now, it doesn't feel like the Bears have a lot of personnel that's exceptional at just finding the end zone. So when you've got guys who are just touchdown makers, Travis Kelce types, who just have a knack for finding space in the red zone, or a Jimmy Graham type tight end, one of these guys who you say matchup-wise, or Calvin Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, guys who you just say, if we throw the ball near them, they're going to be able to have an advantage over the opponent. That's a matchup we want to focus or feature. Or you've got an offensive line. The right side of our offensive line is going to move somebody, no doubt. That's a matchup we're going to lean into. Bears got to find that. Do they have a matchup advantage, or can they schematically create space? Getting Caleb on the move in the red zone, calling him into some of that movement more frequently, I think that might help in the red zone. Beyond that, you hope that someone like Colston Loveland or Rome Odunze, one of these guys with a long frame can show themselves as a real matchup advantage for you once you get in the red zone and just create those opportunities for them one-on-one. But that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to either create a matchup or create space, which is really difficult to find in the red zone. We'll take another short timeout. We got some other callers on the line here, 312-644-6767. Taking you up to Sunday Night Football coverage here, where Aaron Rodgers going to face his old squad, the Green Bay Packers. Coverage will begin here at 6:30. The game itself at 7:20, right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. I'm Anthony Herron. Half hour to go here on the Post Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
A lesson for myself is find just throughout the week, practice week, or even in games, if you know, the momentum, or we got to find a way to get an end zone. We've got to find a way to stop the bleeding when you start bleeding. And I think I can do a better job with that, helping out and leading these guys. Awesome. Thank you. The best.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
You know that voice. That was Caleb Williams, Bears quarterback, after the Bears lost to the Baltimore Ravens today. Drops their record to 4-3 on the season. This is the Post-Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You can join The Score next Sunday at Revolution Brewing at 3340 North Kedzie Avenue. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will host our pregame show there from 9 to noon. Then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Cincinnati. That's next Sunday at Revolution Brewing. I'm sure many of you will be tuned in for that one. And for the way that the Bears game today played out, now being at 4-3, one of the things that I've referenced, and I've said it to my partners on the midday show as well, and I'll be on the midday show tomorrow with Raheemi Harris and Grody reacting to what we saw from the Bears today. One of the things I've kind of, I guess, cautioned them would be a term I would use a little bit here recently, is that if the Bears continue to win, then the conversation isn't only about kind of, you know, Caleb above everything and the development of the young quarterback. We could get to a point here where the division title picture matters more than whether or not Caleb Williams is throwing for X number of yards, or if he looks like he's taking the game over, or if we're winning because of Caleb or with Caleb or those types of things. It's going to be about just Ben Johnson. In this particular season, is he putting the Bears in the best position to win, the best position to succeed? And if that's the case, then the big picture, the macro of the Bears, in my opinion, outshines whether or not we're seeing impressive plays from the Bears' young quarterback. Now, in theory, if the Bears get to a point where they're just continuing to mount wins, it's very likely that it's going to be because they're getting consistent production from Caleb. But we'll see. In today's game, one thing that stood out to me, and I'm seeing it a bit on the text line as well, just the questions about Caleb, the questions about, you know, certainly seeing the name Tyson Bagent. That's unsurprising. That's kind of like every loss, every opportunity that's there, then folks want to clamor for the backup, and that's certainly not specific to Caleb and Tyson. When Jay Cutler was the Bears quarterback, there were folks clamoring for backups then as well. So the backup quarterback is always someone who's extremely popular, but we're watching a quarterback who's not even halfway through his second season in the National Football League. So it's tough to think that the franchise is going to move on from Caleb. But if you're out on Caleb, I mean, I'm not going to say you're wrong, because he hasn't proven that he's some sort of definitive QB of the future as of yet. But it's still so early. We're still in the infancy of this whole thing. But what I will say about where Caleb is at in his development right now, because I did feel today's game was a game where we saw a consistent version of Caleb in trying to do what Ben Johnson was kind of verbally tasking him with throughout the last week, to hunt for completions, to see the field cleanly and just get the ball out of his hands and into the hands of the playmakers. And I felt like Caleb did that really consistently today. What he didn't do was really pick up chunk plays or big plays. The moments towards the end of the first half, Caleb referenced the, you know, not getting out of bounds. The Bears end up using a timeout because of that. They don't end up getting a field goal before the half. The in-game management aspect of that, that was certainly a moment as well. But just from a quarterbacking perspective, in the pocket, reading the field, there wasn't any real attack to the Bears offense. And I'll be curious to hear from Ben Johnson. He'll address the media again tomorrow. And I'm sure there'll be some questions about that balance of trying to figure out how much of that was the Bears offense being controlled from a vertical pass perspective because of what the Ravens were doing, and how much of that was because of what the Bears were doing, or lack of execution to really pick up bigger chunks within the offense. As Caleb completed about two-thirds of his passes, no touchdown passes, though. And that red zone aspect of it, I addressed that towards the end of our first hour here. DeAndre Swift being banged up, that matters too. We saw Kyle Manungai really early in this game and saw him pretty consistently throughout. We're seeing improvement from Manungai. But is Kyle Manungai a guy who looks like someone who's going to be some sort of a Pro Bowl caliber future of the Bears backfield? Not yet. But he's a seventh round pick, and he's the backup to the Bears. So are you deep enough at running back if for some reason DeAndre Swift becomes less and less explosive in the open field? When some open field opportunities were there was the one time where it looked like there was a screen pass where DeAndre Swift was going to have a chance to kind of cut it back against the grain. And then Roquan Smith did what Roquan Smith tends to do. He made like a really impressive open field tackle on a play that I believe DeAndre Swift is able to avoid most linebackers in football and turn that one into a chunk play in the second quarter. But he couldn't quite get away from Roquan Smith. So some of those where it felt like maybe there's a chance here for one of these moments to kind of turn into a bigger play or a chunk play that didn't for the Bears offense. But we didn't see a lot of times where it looked like Caleb was trying to throw the ball over the head of the defensive backs to receivers streaking down the field, hunting chunks in that way until we got to the very latter stages of the game, and it was a little more in desperation mode. And that's where that matters a lot. Can you find that attack earlier in games? And if you can't, then the overall game has to be managed at a really high level. That's where penalties matter more. When you got double-digit drives and you haven't gotten it in the end zone yet, then penalties are killers for you. Missed field goals are horrible missed opportunities when those don't present themselves. So all those things really end up mattering a lot. 312-644-6767. Let's get back out to the phone lines here on the post-post show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I see Gus out in Romeoville wanting to talk about what happened with the day today. What's happening, Gus?
Oh, wow. A little bit depressing. I've been a Bear fan since 1958. I'm in my 70s, and I addressed this issue before because I'm also a retired professional bowler. I'm a senior tour, so I know what it is to be a professional athlete. So we got to draw the line here. We need, as far as the Bears are concerned, people who are willing to commit to 60 minutes of full football. Not a quarter, not 10 minutes or whatever. And when I look at the defense and I look at these defensive linemen who are supposed to be having their rushing lanes, rushing forward, penetration, putting the hands up, they're not doing it. And they're taking themselves out of the play by standing straight up and not moving forward. And I'm not pleased when I see this type of physicality from professional football players, because this is what you get paid to do. And if you're not going to be doing this, and then, of course, if you're not going to give 60 minutes of football, you're not going to win very many games. And a lot of the pundits were saying, well, you know what? They got takeaways. But what happens when there's no takeaways? Is the offense good enough to score enough points to win the football games? And the answer to that was, it was proven today. They're not that good. So now, how do you develop the best that you can with the attributes that you're dealing with? And this is what Ben Johnson has got to do. It's not the coaching staff. That's not the problem. The problem is getting these players to commit to a full game, as I keep saying. And I don't mean to be so repetitive, but I see this every day. I see this every week. And now I see a lot of sportscasters making excuses for these people. These are professional football players. They need to be playing like that. So I want to hear what you guys have to say about that.
I appreciate you making the call, Gus. And from one former professional athlete to another, you understand the type of commitment that it takes to be exceptional at what you're doing on a regular basis. I'd say the comparison between professional bowling and professional football is that the bowling balls don't hit back. There's not an expectation that the pins are being defended by someone while they're down there. So that's not necessarily to belittle what a professional athlete as a bowler has to go through, but there is a distinct difference between that. Like a professional golfer, if you're on your game and you're doing your job and you're operating with your mechanics on a consistent basis, or if like the sport of basketball was all a free throw competition or a three-point shootout where there's not another athlete lined up across from you who's also physically challenging you, then that is a difference. And the reason I point that out, Gus, and I appreciate you calling again, is because the opponent is going to make some plays. Like I was talking about it in Bears Blitz on Friday, and I mentioned it again on Fox 32 during Bears Game Day Live. Every week when I do those shows at Fox 32, I'll have these breakdown segments, like a key matchup that I'm really looking forward to between a Bears player and one of the opponents. And my matchup this week, and my producer over there, Joe Today, he'll ask me, like, what matchup do you want to break down this week? And I'll tell him, here's a Bears player, here's a player from the opposing team. And Joe does a fantastic job of putting some film together with some graphics and everything. So he hit me up last Wednesday, like, hey, what's the matchup for this week? I needed to give it a minute because there were so many Ravens banged up. I really wanted to get my mind wrapped around, like, who's going to be on the field for both teams and who makes sense? I hit him up later that night. And we went with Andrew Billings versus Tyler Linderbaum. And it was a lot of fun to watch those guys match up today. Two really good football players, one of the best centers in the National Football League, and one of the strongest interior defensive linemen in the sport. Just all the ground-based power that Andrew Billings can apply out of his stance to just move blockers. I mean, the goal of the offensive line is to move defenders around, and especially an offense like the Ravens that's trying to create some run lanes for Derrick Henry. Tyler Linderbaum is usually really good at that. And that matchup today, Linderbaum with his athleticism and his leverage, sometimes he was able to overreach or overtake Billings or get up to the second level and get on the Bears linebackers. And sometimes Billings, as he's playing directly into the pads, and there's times where you just know you're going to take an L every once in a while, but you've got to keep your body between you and that defensive lineman when you're an offensive lineman. And Tyler Linderbaum was able to at least get that done, even when he's getting driven backwards by Andrew Billings. Because that's what Andrew Billings tends to do. Big Bill is going to move some folks around. And that was a fun matchup to watch. But to my point I'm making with Gus here from Romeoville is that there will be times where, yeah, you are expected to execute on a consistent basis, but doesn't mean the Bears weren't playing hard if the Ravens on individual snaps were able to out-physical them, because they're getting paid to be physical too. There's just going to be that physical confrontation that isn't going to go the way of the Bears 10 times out of 10. But some of those splash plays show up and matter a lot. And one thing I was impressed by, it was only 4 carries for Keaton Mitchell, 21 carries in the game for Derrick Henry, 4 carries in the game for Keaton Mitchell. But when you have Derrick Henry, who's basically my size, he's like 6'3", 255, something like that. That's basically almost identical. Now, I'm proportioned differently than Derrick Henry at this point in my life. But you get the enormous Derrick Henry at running back, and then they just sprinkled in Keaton Mitchell in his diminutive stature. And like every time he touched the rock, it was like he was shot out of a cannon, and the pace was so different. And you saw where Keaton Mitchell gained pretty significant yards every time he touched the ball, because as defenders, you get used to playing into blocks and then preparing to fight off of blocks. Or there was a time where Jaquan Brisker decided to undercut a block because he'd gotten away with that in trying to pursue Derrick Henry. But then when Keaton Mitchell was in the game, Jaquan Brisker undercuts a block and Mitchell gets the corner and gains a bigger chunk of yardage. Those things matter. And you want to be able to recognize that as a run defender, but it's still a situation where you get into this rhythm and how you're hitting blocks, how you're reacting to blocks, the angles that you're attacking them with, and the opponent is sometimes going to gain that advantage on you. And this Bears defense, to one of the points I made earlier, it's not only about how the Bears offense will be able to sustain if they don't get the advantage of the opposing team's takeaways, but it's also, in my opinion, my curiosity has been, how will the Bears defense respond in a game where they're not forcing several takeaways as well? Will they be able to sustain? I think today's game was it was an example of Tyler Huntley being in at quarterback. He was extremely efficient. He's, of course, no Lamar Jackson. But Ravens offense, after some early fits and starts against the Bears D, you saw the Ravens offense able to mount drives pretty consistently against the Bears. 312-644-6767. Mark is in Wisconsin, and he's got a curiosity about the quarterback position for the Bears. What's up, Mark?
I was just thinking this over, but I think an interesting proposition for Ben Johnson would have been to match John Harbaugh's starting Huntley over Lamar Jackson after all that kind of hoopla before the game started. My point is if Ben Johnson would have countered with starting Bijan in replace of Caleb, he could have matched head games with him. And again, I'm not suggesting Caleb should have been benched. That's not where I'm going. Just as much as Lamar Jackson's not going to be benched. My point is let's just say it throws him off. Bijan is having some success. And let's just say he's doing as well as Huntley does. And he has success. And the Bears, for some reason, end up winning the game. The bottom line is still winning. Caleb might learn something on the sideline and, get more hungry or learn something and progress from the whole scenario.
All right. I appreciate you, Mark. Yeah, it's a unique idea, I would say, to because it's not like the Ravens didn't start Lamar Jackson by choice. They didn't start Lamar Jackson because Lamar Jackson is not healthy enough to start yet. But, the matching wits aspect of that, or our caller Mark was phrasing it there, theoretically should have been an advantage to the Bears defense because the two-time league MVP was not in the lineup for the Ravens. Now, if there comes a time here where the Bears feel like Tyson Bijan gives them a better chance to win games, then I would imagine they'll make a move and end up starting Tyson Bijan. The Bears don't seem to believe that yet, nor do I. But it would be a unique move on the Bears' part to play Tyson Bijan just because the other team has their backup quarterback in. That would surprise me if that was how the Bears ended up handling it at some point here. To the Bears' defense, where in this game, one thing I saw from DeAndre Swift, and I'll talk about it a bit more on the station throughout the week as well, or not from DeAndre Swift, excuse me, from Montez Sweat, is I did see him making more avoid moves, like missing blocks a little more consistently in the game here. What struck me about it, though, is that there were times where both Montez Sweat and Dayo Odenbo were flying up the field. And some of you have probably heard me sort of calling for that over the last few weeks and just saying that I don't think we need to see the Bears defensive ends running into blocks as consistently as they have been, because it's tough to transition from power rusher to getting to an edge or hitting blocks like you're defending the run and then trying to turn the corner or just power rushing snap after snap. Sometimes put some speed in the feet of the offensive lineman. Sometimes just use your explosive get off and get up the field and try to just get around the guy. Don't run into him every time. Been calling for that for a number of weeks. This matchup today, though, against a Ravens offense that wasn't going to feature consistencies to just the straight drop back passing game, that didn't really suit this opponent And I was surprised to see pretty, I shouldn't say frequently, but more often than we've seen, more often than I've observed at any point prior to that this season, I saw Montez Sweat darting up the field. I saw Dai Odengbo darting up the field as though they were really anticipating drop back pass. That did provide some run lanes to the Ravens offense. And I'm not clear schematically if that was an approach coming in or if Montez and Dio just kind of felt like, you know what, we're just running into these blockers too much. This is finally going to be the game where we close on these tackles and get some good speed rushes going around the outside corner, really turn this corner with some finesse. I've been looking for them to do that. Just today's game, to me, wasn't the matchup that I expected to see them feature that as frequently as was happening against the Ravens today. And, you know, I just had my first look at it in live action and had some notes about that. But I was really struck by to me, Sweat and Odengbo, both of them were just getting up the field and creating some cutback lanes and some run lanes in a way that I didn't really think suited the opponent. Was good to see Noah Sewell back in action. That should continue to be a positive, I think, for the Bears defense as they continue to search for ways to shore up how they get that ground attack stymied from the opponent. You'll hear me on the midday show. I'll be on there tomorrow at 11 a.m. with Raheemi, Harris, and Grody. Looking forward to that. Appreciate everyone who called in today. You can tune in all day tomorrow for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Gabe Ramirez will be live starting at midnight, followed by Mully and Haw at 5:30 right here on The Score. I'm going to get up out of the way, though, because tonight Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers take on the Packers on Sunday Night Football. Coverage is coming up at 6:30 and kickoff at 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. Appreciate my guy Tyler Butterball being on the other side of the glass for me this evening. Appreciations and salutations to all of you for listening to the Post Post Show. I'm Anthony Herron. This is the all-powerful Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.